Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
The Christmas story has never lost its power. It is the one story that is timeless and eternal. If you think of many stories you may know, all stories have an expiration date, but this one does not. And I mean, kings come and they create stories and go. The moment they are gone, they are forgotten. Nations will rise, nations fall, kingdoms come, kingdoms go, but none can compare to the Jesus story. For over 2,000 years, it is being celebrated. In fact, if you think about it, there's no birthday of any significant person that is celebrated globally. I mean, some people are so powerful and they want their birthdays to be celebrated, but they'll be celebrated by a few people in a localized manner. When it comes to Jesus, the entire world pauses to celebrate his birth. To celebrate his birth. And things change. That's when the decoration shows up. That's when the trees, Christmas trees show up. That's when we light up the city and make sure there's lights everywhere. Even the music changes when you're in public means of transport. Christmas music. When you turn on the television, Christmas songs. When you go shopping, Christmas. It's Christmas everywhere. Because there's nobody like Jesus, and his birth is worth celebrating every single year. And I know you're getting ready to eat so much. Now that's what happens. And get those gifts and those Christmas. None can compare to Jesus' story. It is timeless. Now, I want to read for you some portions from the very first Christmas and share some thoughts from there. And I'm going to read from the book of Luke. Now, Luke actually is a compilation of facts around the life of Jesus. There was a significant official who had heard about Jesus. And what he wanted to do was to verify the facts about his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. Because he just wanted to know, because there was no person like him. And so being such a big official called Theophilus, he decided to get somebody who would do the research and verify. And he got a gentleman called Luke, doctor. He was a doctor, actually. Dr. Luke, a physician, a medical doctor. Now, please understand, doctors don't deal with stories. When you go to a doctor and tell the doctor, I have a headache, the doctor cannot feel your headache. He can feel your temperature, but they can't feel your headache. Now, a doctor won't just conclude, at least the good ones, won't just conclude and say, this is the medicine you want. They want facts. So they will say, go do a blood checkup. I want to rule out. They want facts. That's what doctors want. So Dr. Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, was verifying facts about Jesus. That's what he wanted. And he was doing it for a very significant official who wanted to verify facts. So if you want to read about facts on the life of Jesus, all the Gospels are facts. But this one is particularly written. He's not even one of the 12 disciples. He's a corporate man, so that all of us can agree, because you always want a witness. Outside, say, you're an insider. This is an outsider. Verifying the story of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his, and a doctor. If you want to know about birth, look for a doctor. If you want to understand about life, look for a doctor. If you want to understand death, did he really die? Look for a doctor. Did he really rise from the grave? Get a doctor. Because he wanted facts. So this one here is the very first Christmas. And he was getting facts around it. So Luke chapter 2, He says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This is Luke giving facts to Theophilus. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. That was what was happening. He's painting the context of the very first Christmas. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Luke verified, where is this Joseph from? Now, today we do DNA, but he did his own kind of verification here. And he's mentioning all of these because they are important to the story. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Luke continues and says, and there were shepherds who were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They were on night duty. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Everyone say, all the people. That was good news. The first invitation for Christmas was not by human beings, it was by heaven. This is the first Christmas card. By angels inviting shepherds, telling them, hey, whereas on earth you are just going on business as usual, heaven knew something that we didn't know. And so the angels came and said, hey, shepherds, I am, because you're the ones who are awake, the rest are sleeping. I bring you good news that is going to cause great joy for all the people. What was the news? Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. That is the good news. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That was the first Christmas. And Luke has verified all of this and he's writing it down. For this gentleman called Theophilus. He carries on and he begins to talk about the first few people that actually understood Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so he talks about a man here. Now, there was a man from verse 24 in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Why? There were multiple generations of Israel that had gone through periods of darkness. Israel was the favored one of God, the blessed one of God. They turned away from God, and then they ended up in oppression. They ended up going away from the land God had given to them. And so they had spent almost 400 years not hearing from God. It was so dark. So they were always hanging on to a promise. And like Pastor Brian has shared, they were waiting for the day God would send them a savior. Generation would come and generation would go. And they were saying, one day God would send. And it so happened that Simeon was one of those right now waiting during this time. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. I love that. My friends, when God reveals a promise to you by the Holy Spirit. You will not die when before fulfilling that promise. He will always fulfill his promises. And so Simeon was hanging on to that. And so, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents of Jesus brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, which was to dedicate the children after a week, they would bring them for dedication. Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God. Now, there were many babies that were born at that time. Many. Okay? But Simeon understood the difference about this baby. And so when he held baby Jesus in his hands, he was not just holding a baby. That was the King of Kings. That was the representation of a promise that they had been waiting for many years. For him, it was not just another 25th of December. That's not the actual date, actually. We just have a date when we get to pause as the world. It was absolutely different. It's not the first baby he was holding. But the moment he held baby Jesus, something in him shifted. He praised God, and this is what he said. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. He had held his promise. He knew. He touched Jesus, the baby. But he knew about this child. For my eyes have seen your salvation, he said, which you have prepared in the sight of, everybody say, all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. That's what Simeon was holding in his hands. He burst out in worship because he knew more than many others knew. He knew right in his hands he was holding the hope of the world, the light of the world. A light had dawned on the darkness Israel had been through. So I want to talk about that light that has dawned. And it has not dawned for a few people. It has dawned for all people. Everyone say all people. His entry point into the world was in Bethlehem. But the purpose was for the entire world. And that's what Simeon saw. That's why he referred to him, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight for all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, but also to the people of Israel. A light has dawned for all. And that's why we can celebrate here in Uganda. Because the light has dawned for all people. Now, just a few thoughts when I reflect on what Simeon experienced, what the angels said. I bring you good news that would cause great joy for all people. Why is this such a big deal? Why should we celebrate everything that comes with Christmas and the promises that come with it? Well, first, you need to understand this issue of sin. It's a real issue. Sin, and in fact, in some places, people don't want to talk about sin. But sin is so real, we all know it. We all know when we fail God and fail others. Whether we try to shy away from it is a real issue. Sin. But as human beings, we are also very interesting. We know how to categorize sin. So there are some people who are real sinners in our minds. These ones are real sinners. when you think of murderers, oh, that's a real sinner. Someone who's living in sexual perversion, oh, don't you even admit that one is a real sinner. But for me, I'm not, you know, my sin level is a bit. That's how we categorize sin as human beings. And so we live in the deception, as long as I'm not as bad as the other one, my bad is acceptable. There are some professions that somehow we label as those ones. For example, whatever has come into your mind, okay, is exactly what I was about to say, but because you know it already, I won't mention it. Okay? I won't mention it. But you also have a categorization. These ones here, real. These are real sinners. But for you, I'll use this term loosely, you're a good sinner. But here's the thing. We are all sinners. Before God, there's nothing. This is too bad. This is a little bit. We are all sinners. All of us. And this is what the Bible says. Isaiah. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord has caused the wickedness of us all, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, to fall on him instead of us. All of us are sinners. The Bible says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us are sinners. So a light has dawned for all. It wasn't for a few. It was for all of us, because we have all fallen short. In fact, we are born in sin. We don't need to learn to do wrong. We need to learn to do right. Sin is just on the inside of us. We all sinners. But on the other hand, we have a God who is so amazing. And God loves all people. So on one end, we're all sinners. On the other hand, there's a God who is love, and he perfectly loves all people. I need to think about it. Now, as human beings as well, there's a way we categorize God's love. We think there are those whom God loves more. So when you say, oh, for the pastors, those ones, God loves them. But for us, he also loves us, but we are like this side. We're a little bit far. We sort of think that, man, there are some who are God's favorites. Here's the good news. We are all God's favorites because we are created in his image. We are created in the image of God. And listen to me, my friends. Yes, however bad you think you are and have failed God, and even according to human standards, the sin that they categorize as the worst, you were there. Let me tell you, God's love for you is still perfect. God is love, and he cannot deny himself. He loves perfectly everyone, regardless of their sin. Regardless of their sin. I love what the Bible says here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, you know, it says, God, who is love, He is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, thinking he's coming to judge, he needs to judge people immediately, and he will. There's a time he will do that. But God is long-suffering towards us. He's patient. That patience is because he loves. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all, everybody say all, should come to repentance. The reason God will not judge sin immediately is because he's always waiting for you to turn and come back to him. That's God's love. Perfect love demonstrated in his patience towards all sinners. John chapter 3 and verse 16 to 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." So what we celebrate as Christmas is God's love on display, as Mbithi said earlier in the worship session. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, there it comes again, but have eternal life. For God, many times we don't read verse 17, but let me read it on 18. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." On one hand, and we're all sinners. That's darkness. It's like we can't save ourselves, and we cannot. We need a savior. A drowning person needs somebody to help them. That's how we were. On the other hand, there's a God who loves us so perfectly. He recognizes our sin mess. He knows we cannot get ourselves out of this mess. And what does he do? He chooses to send us his very best, his son Jesus, whose birth we celebrate every Christmas. Why did Jesus come? Why is it good news? It was good news because one end we're sinners, the other end we have a perfect God who loves us perfectly, but the sin that was standing in our way could not let us have a relationship with him. He gave us Jesus, who came to pay the penalty and the price that was due to our sin so that we could enjoy the perfect love of God. And that's why the angel said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." So we celebrate because we are not going to die in our sin. Jesus died in our place. He was born to die in our place. We celebrate because not only has our sin issue been dealt with, now what divided and separated us from God is no longer there. We can now enjoy the perfect love of God and enjoy the perfect peace of God and enjoy the perfect hope that comes from knowing Jesus and receiving him. So my friends, a light has dawned. His name is Jesus. He came for all because God loves all, and Jesus died for all. Will you receive him today? This Christmas can be the most different Christmas you've ever experienced when you choose to give Jesus a chance in your life. He will never let you down. The reason he came was for you. He had you in mind. God had you in mind. God didn't want you to perish, and he gave us Jesus. That's the good news. Would you bow your heads for a moment? you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, please would you pray with me? I want to invite Jesus into my life today. I want him to come and light the dark areas in my life and drive them out. I want him to forgive me of my sin. I've written myself off. People have written me off. But today I realize I'm perfectly loved. And that Christmas is a grand display of God's love by giving us his very best. His own son, Jesus, who was born to die for my sin, to die in my place, so I could be reconciled back to God. Saying, Pastor, please pray with me. I want this Jesus, whose birth we celebrate, to be my Lord and my Savior. I want him to forgive me. I want him to set me free. I want him to deliver me from darkness. If that's you, wherever you are, I want to pray with you. Would you raise your hand saying, today I just want Jesus to come into my life. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I see those hands. God bless you. Just shoot it higher. And I have a friend. We're going to pray with you. Thank you upstairs. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Just raise that hand. And I just want to pray with you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Saying, I want to receive Jesus into my life. Thank you. I see that other hand up there. God bless you. Is there any other person saying, please pray? Thank you. Right at the back. God bless you. At the front here. Thank you. God bless you, my little friend. Thank you, young man. God bless you. God bless you. Just raise that hand. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. God bless you. Thank you, madam. I see that hand. God bless you. You're saying, today is my day. I want to receive Jesus, the light of the world. Is there any other person? Thank you, young lady. God bless you for making that decision. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, mom, with your little girl. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. At the back. God bless you. Right at the back, upstairs. God richly bless you. I see that hand. Any other person you're saying, today's the day. Thank you. Thank you, young ladies. God richly bless you. I see those hands over there. God bless you. A friend of mine is going to come to you right now. Wow. If you raise your hand, I would love to lead you in a simple prayer of inviting Jesus into your life today. And I would like you to repeat these words after me. But in fact, I want everyone, if we can support our friends as they pray this prayer. Let's all say these words together. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And I ask you for your forgiveness. Today, I choose to make you my Lord and my Savior. Drive the darkness out of my life. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I thank you. In your name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's celebrate our wonderful friends that have made that decision.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey!